This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here we are once again. It is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla. It's my favorite time of the week because I get to have a great discussion fielding your questions with Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist. We work together on a daily basis at my practice here in New York City. Layla is a registered dietitian. She also has a master's degree in the field of nutrition and is also herself the author of a weekly newsletter article and does a weekly podcast. How are you doing?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman, how are you?
And, you know, you have quite a fan club out there.
Oh, my.
In terms of, you know, getting some very laudatory comments on Facebook in relationship to your podcasts.
And I've done this so far while avoiding social media, so I have to thank you.
So I'm the one who has to be exposed to social media while you get to just post to social media.
I just post.
And so there's no time suck for you while you look at people's pet pictures.
Right.
And
oh
people's...
My gosh.
This
no
is what I had.
Videos.
This is what I had for breakfast.
And, oh, and who cares?
And this is the fabulous vacation I'm taking
right.
in wherever.
Oh, that means my house is empty. It could be robbed.
Right.
Yeah.
And here's my new. This is my new Facebook picture. You know, my own portrait,
mm-hmm.
self-portrait selfie.
My latest selfie.
My latest selfie. Right. Yeah, anyway, so what that means is that it. Predictably, your mental health is greater than the average because there have been studies which suggest that the amount of time you spend on Facebook is inversely proportional to your risk of depression and mental problems.
That. Yeah, I have to tell you, sitting on the subway, my subway ride home, which is much mm-hmm. shorter now in our new space, I'm very discouraged when I see the person next to me, and they're not necessarily a young person. You would think the millennials
right.
and younger are all doing this, but a very disturbed or pensive look on their face while they're looking through their Facebook.
Right.
Of, you know.
Right.
Just feeling
it's
like
just creating anxiety.
People.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, but there's an encouraging trend, and this was an article in the Wall Street Journal just today, which for some of you will be last week. Because there's a little delay before we get the podcast out. The article is about podcasting and the popularity of podcasting. And what the headline was that New York is a mecca for podcast production. And they were talking about, that there was something like a billion downloads of podcasts, in 2016.
Wow.
So what's interesting is that we actually form a fairly, significant fraction of the downloads of podcasts because we had 4 million.
Wow.
So, I mean, percentage-wise, that's 0.something-something.
But that's significant.
We put a dent in that billion.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool. That would
Thanks
be,
for listening, everybody.
That's, I guess, 0.4% of that billion downloads. And what it means is that people have long commutes mm-hmm. in the car and on the subway and on the train. And some people, you know, I ask them, you have this horrible long commute. They say, I like it because it's my own private time. I get away from, you know, the family, the kids.
Right.
And it's a time where I can do a little work mm-hmm. or I can catch up on something and enrich my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of listening to music, which is fine,
yeah.
They'll listen to either, you know, some of these podcasts are, you know, like old-fashioned radio soap opera kind of things that are in a new iteration,
yeah.
and some of them are factual, and some of them are self-help,
mm-hmm.
Like our Intelligent Medicine podcast.
Yeah.
So
wonderful.
People are into it. It's a
right.
it's a real happening thing.
So it's great for anybody with a long commute, which is wonderful. Otherwise, that was just some drag.
Right. And they did this in a Wall Street Journal for the economic impact that this is having on New York, is that there's a lot of podcasting studios and a lot of people are employed. Thousands of people are employed.
Huh.
Well, I guess you and I are employed.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. It helps our employment statistics. And we have like 0.25 of a full-time person who helps us produce
<That's right>.
These.
That's right.
It's like, you know, we're really helping the unemployment situation here in New York.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's a gold mine. It's a gold mine. Yeah. And, you know, so anyway, so let's get into questions.
Yes. We have an email from Nick. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm a 20-year-old male who's involved in bodybuilding, high-intensity interval training. I weigh 160. I'm 5'9".
Wow. So he is...
He's 20.
He's a strong 5'9".
Yeah, he's a strong 5'9". I've never been fat, but when I turned 20, I put on 10 to 15 pounds of body fat suddenly.
That sort of happens. That's, you know, men tend to broaden. I mean, if you have any doubt about that, just look at baseball players. Like a rookie baseball player, you know, like when... you know, trying to think of some examples in baseball, but people may not be familiar with baseball, is like that little skinny, you know, toothpick of a shortstop who broke in at the age of, you know, 20 or 22, you know, for the Yankees. You know, and he, years later, there's going to be about 10 or 15, 20 pounds of usually muscle because they're involved in active physical activity and training. Men tend to broaden, and it's not just about fat. Mm. And if you're working out and if you're a bodybuilder, that's going to happen for sure. I mean, one way to fend that off is to just run like crazy, and then your body will adapt to the running and you'll avoid that. Anyway.
So Nick says, I also noticed that my core body temperature went from 98.1, 98.6 to 97.7.
Mm-hmm.
I'm following your dietary advice completely, so I don't feel it's due to anything I eat.
So it's sort of paleo, presumably, and low carb.
Yeah. Since I'm a regular user of your supplements, I was hoping you could recommend specific supplements or lifestyle changes to speed up metabolism, raise my temperature.
Okay, so a couple of issues. This is an old notion. It's called the Barnes Basal Body Temperature Test, the BBT, which is when I first cracked into this field in the 80s, that was popular as a way of assessing thyroid function beyond the blood tests. And so if you had low temperature, you were potentially a candidate. What I discovered is that, you know, in reading up on this and looking at the science and the physiology, is that there are actually a lot of reasons why people, not everyone is 98.6. Mm-hmm. And that's a core temperature. And by other methods, you know, you'll often find like underarm temperature will be lower.
Right.
There's a multiplicity of reasons. Some people simply hotter than others. I mean, maybe that's constitutional. Some people, it may be related to what's called thermogenesis, which is the genesis of heat and energy from fuel.
Especially after a meal. Some people heat up a little bit.
Right.
They feel warmer.
Exactly. So there could be temperature fluctuations with the time of day. You know, certainly when we sleep, our temperature goes down. So it's not a very reliable way to predict thyroid function, in my opinion. If your temperature is very low, that is make suspicious for thyroid. We need additional tests to determine that. But let's look at things that are potentially thermogenic. Among things that are thermogenic, one, paradoxically, is to cool yourself down. Really cool yourself down, and cold exposure, you know, taking a swim in cold water, which I like to do, you know, deliberately, you know, getting out there and running in cold temperature.
Lower your thermostat to 60 degrees and don't wear anything but a tank top and shorts.
What it does is it builds brown fat. Yeah. It's one of the few reliable ways to build brown fat. Yeah. Brown fat is the fat-burning fat. It's the thermogenic fat.
Active fat.
Metabolically active instead of, white fat, which is storage, just a depot for excess calories.
Right.
So the other thing that can be done, EGCG. You know, EGCG from green tea.
Yes.
I would think maybe a higher dose, maybe 4 a day or even 6 to get that thermogenic effect. There's definitely a thermogenic effect with green tea.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that seems to do that is CAPC8.
Yes.
Which is a derivative. It's actually a derivative of It's almost like red defanged red pepper. Mm-hmm. It's defanged. A capsaicinoid, but it doesn't make you sweat. It doesn't make your hair stand on end. It doesn't make you, you know, burn your mouth or burn your stomach. It has the effect. It has a thermogenic effect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't talk about it that much because I hate weight loss charlatanism, you know, like these magic weight loss formulas. And even Dr. Oz is susceptible to that because he wants to generate ratings. But I think that there's a potential for these things to be a little bit helpful at accelerating metabolic rate and generating heat from, you know, in a fat-burning way.
Right, right. Yeah, they forget those magic bullet things. You have to read the fine print. In conjunction with, you know, a low-calorie diet and exercise, if you take this product, and I always say, just do the diet and the exercise, and that'll take care of itself.
Right.
You won't need the... Yeah.
Right. But it, the beginning of what he said, describe his exercise regimen.
Yeah. Bodybuilding and high-intensity interval training.
Okay. And that should be great. Yeah. But I think that anytime you have an element of bodybuilding or strength training, it sometimes favors weight gain because the body, it's sort of like when you push the body against an immovable object or a heavy object, the body wants to get heavier to overcome that object. It's just a way to build muscle and get heavier.
Yeah.
So if you, and I've noticed this in my own body, is that there are times where I engaged in just almost virtually only aerobic training. Mm-hmm. And I got skinny. Mm. And then I had to, you know, get smaller clothes. You know, and then for some reason, I said I got tired of that and, you know, maybe I got a little lazy about that. And I wanted to just do strength training. I wanted to get big. I wanted to get big, strong. This is when I was in my 40s. I went up to size 44 jacket. And I was pushing really big weights, but I gained weight.
Right.
And then with
men's muscles get bigger.
Right. And then I reached a point also, you reach a point in life where, you reach a kind of a fork in the road where either you get really heavy and fat and accumulate fat or frail. And I probably have a little bit the frail gene. Not that I'm frail at this point because I, you know, feel pretty strong. Mm-hmm. But definitely strength declines and some people lose muscle mass around 55, 60 or so.
Our protein needs are higher.
Yeah.
You know, as we get older.
Muscles may shrink. It's sarcopenia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but this totally natural tendency for young men to get broader and bigger. It just happens.
And 20,
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you're unfit or fat.
Yeah. But Nick should probably get his thyroid checked out anyway.
Why not?
Why not?
But the, but the blood test is not completely reliable. I would suggest looking at a T3 in particular.
Yeah. Nick, I would also inquire, are you experiencing other possible low thyroid symptoms?
Mm-hmm.
Constipation.
Dry skin, lethargy.
Dry skin, feeling like you can't get out of bed in the morning without a pot of coffee.
Right.
You can't get started.
Yep. Thinning hair, brittle nails.
Yeah.
Although we see that more in women.
Okay. Nick, best of luck to you. Thank you for your question. All right. We've got an email from Tom. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I take several supplements like fish oil, turmeric, chiolic garlic, cayenne pepper, usually at the same time with food. I was just wondering whether when you take them all together, are they as effective or do they fight each other?
Wow.
Imagine you took turmeric, Tom, imagine you took turmeric and garlic and cayenne as seasonings in your food.
Right.
Would you imagine they fight each other?
Exactly. That's a very good point.
Maybe for your taste buds.
That's a very good point.
But not
And there are things that harmonize and there's some things that even culinary experts know clash.
Yeah.
Flavor-wise, it's unclear whether they antagonize. There was, you know, I think the most popular example of this was the belief for a while that you shouldn't take your calcium with your magnesium because they were on sort of a seesaw that calcium competed with magnesium. But then there was an ingenious experiment where I think they administered radio-labeled calcium along with magnesium. This is done a long time ago. And to see if it actually got absorbed. Mm-hmm. And what they found is that it didn't matter, is that giving it with magnesium, as you might see it in a CalMag supplement, an osteoporosis formula, or in a multi where they're together, there is no antagonism.
Right.
So,
and when you take a calcium supplement, you need the magnesium unless you want to get all bound up
right.
for a lot of people.
The one, there are some examples of things you need to take alone. like amino acids. For example, if amino acids are taken with a meal, the protein in the meal will compete with the protein in the amino acids when you want to get it to the brain.
Yeah.
So you may want to take those on an empty stomach.
Right, like acetyl-carnitine.
That's an example, yeah. Or, you know, tryptophan or 5-hydroxytryptophan or something like that. You know, let's see, any other examples of things that should be taken solo?
Probiotics are kind of either or.
But the question's not about taking things solo. It's about, you know, is there antagonism?
Oh, strontium and calcium?
That would be good. Yes, yeah. That's a good example.
That would be...
And you know why? There's a reason why. Is if you know, you had to... You're an RD, so you had to study the periodic table in chemistry, remember?
Yeah.
And you had columns and rows. So columns going down and rows going across. And if you look at the column that calcium's in, it's magnesium, calcium, and strontium.
Uh-huh.
It's in this, and so it stands to reason that they actually may compete.
Wow.
But I don't think there's really been a big study on calcium and strontium. It's just that as a precaution, we say don't take calcium or a calcium-rich meal with the strontium. And I'll tell you, following that advice, we have seen uniformly good results in our patients taking strontium.
Yes.
Just remarkable
yes.
results.
We've seen reversals in osteoporosis.
Absolutely.
To osteopenia. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Along with a whole arsenal of other supplements.
Yeah. But I think the strontium's doing a lot of the heavy lifting on that.
Yeah. So, Tom, these that you mentioned, your fish oil, the turmeric, the kyolic garlic, the cayenne pepper, you can take all of these. However, if you're taking that cayenne pepper for weight loss, like the what's the product you just mentioned?
Oh, Capsiate.
You want to take that on an empty stomach if that's what you're taking it for. Some people are taking the cayenne for anti-inflammatory and other. You could take all of these at the same time with food. So, Tom, yes, you could take all of these, and these particular supplements aren't necessarily competing with each other. And use your spices, too. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Speaking of thyroid, this comes from Michael. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, greetings. I am 73 and quite thin. I also tend to be a bit hyper. My TSH was 5.78.
Well, that's a TSH that suggests low thyroid.
Yeah. My MD said this was a sign of hypothyroidism. What dietary approaches would you recommend?
Well, you know, this is a question that I answered on the air. And I wonder if it's not the same person because it sounds similar. This person who called and this person who's writing, they're in their 70s. They say that they're active and they feel fine. And they give us their thyroid scores. And their thyroid scores show that TSH is 5.78, which is a little bit high. We tend to be suspicious of low thyroid when TSH is anything above about 3 or 3.5.
Yeah.
However, you know, just as... normal TSH does not preclude the possibility that somebody's hypothyroid. Abnormal TSH does not preclude the possibility that someone is fine and doesn't need treatment. And you don't treat the numbers. That's really illustrates that you don't treat the numbers, you treat the patient.
Yeah.
And the other concern is that in a 70-something-year-old, as opposed to a 25-year-old, aggressively treating thyroid might trigger other problems, such as a cardiac arrhythmia. The thyroid has the effect of speeding up the heart. And a not uncommon cause of atrial fibrillation in individuals over 60 and younger is hyperthyroidism, like a natural hyperthyroidism. But I've also seen it in people who've been overdosed with thyroid medication.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling fine, by the way, Mike, you know, the conclusion here is that the doctor didn't want to do anything about it.
Right.
And so the question is there a problem that needs to be remedied with a nutritional solution here?
That's a great question.
And what this guy could do is write on a piece of paper, maybe there's no problem here, and then stick it on his refrigerator door with a kitchen magnet, you know, and just be there with this.
Right.
Now, if he were to experience fatigue, lethargy.
Yes.
You know, the symptoms that we described earlier.
Constipation, dry skin.
Yeah.
All that. Weight gain for no good reason.
And sometimes it's associated with cardiovascular risk because the lipids go up and the patient gets obese.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's can actually increase cardiovascular risk, even diabetic risk.
Yeah.
But that doesn't appear to be happening with this GENT.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't treat the numbers. I treat the patient's clinical predicament. And in this case, if this guy were my patient, I don't know enough about him, but I think I would be conservative about using thyroid medication.
Right.
Now, let's say we wanted to wake up the thyroid naturally. What are some of the things to do?
Well, first of all, avoid goitrogen. Soy is a big one. Millet, the gluten-free grain millet, is another one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's almost a close second to soy.
I didn't know that.
So those are goitrogens. The other thing is zinc and selenium.
Zinc, selenium,
support.
A little iodine, perhaps.
We would also look
Maybe tyrosine, because tyrosine is a building block.
Right.
So there's thyroid formulas that incorporate all those things.
We would also look at ferritin levels.
Oh, okay.
Or any iron, because we need enough ferritin to support thyroid.
Okay.
So ferritin is low. Mm-hmm. That could be a reason for the hypothyroidism.
We have no reason to suspect that in this individual, but we might check that.
Right. So, wow, Michael, this is the closest you've come to a podcast consult.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Just send us your Medicare form and and we'll submit it for the reimbursement of $34.87.
So, okay. Very, very interesting. Thank you, Michael. We hope you are fine and feel well. Isabel writes to us, "Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I've noticed that on the internet, people are saying that trimethylglycine is good for almost everything. Lowers homocysteine, helps the liver detoxify, improves sleep, shrinks tumors, prevents colds."
Okay.
I don't know that I've read that.
Yeah.
Is it really that good?
Well, let me
How much should I take?
So let me just comment on this phenomenon, which is, and I'm really getting kind of disgusted, is that, you know, the term fake news, I mean, has a political context. And, you know, I really believe there's a lot of fake news, you know, from both sides of the fence. And it's a strategy to get people engaged and excited. But it's also on the internet is a cheap way to light a bonfire. Mm-hmm. Of opinion, but also to cheaply launch a commercial campaign to promote something, and
without a whole lot of consequence. If it's
without
misleading.
A lot, exactly. So TMG or trimethylglycine is a valuable nutrient.
Yeah.
And from what I'm hearing, some of these statements have some basis in truth. But it is not a panacea. What I use TMG for, this TMG, right?
TMG.
TMG is also known as betaine, and it is useful for patients to lower homocysteine. It's a methylating agent.
Yes. So good for liver detox.
And it may be great for liver detox. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the two main reasons. What were some of the others? Weight loss?
Preventing tumors, shrinking tumors,
preventing
colds, increasing strength.
I don't hear that.
I don't sleep. I've never seen those studies.
Yeah.
I've never seen that either.
Yeah.
So Isabel, it could be a case of somebody taking some really good information and then creating a whole lot of hogwash from it.
So here's a little quick sermon. You know, again, I'm going to use this bully pulpit, is that this is a call for ethics.
Yes.
Ethics in all walks of American life.
Yeah.
And that we have to maintain some fidelity to the truth. And I think that the ethics have gone by the board in all phases of American life, is that people make statements that are inflammatory statements without any basis in fact, but also people make statements for commercial gain that are...
And to get hits and clicks.
That are outlandish or that are, distortions.
Yeah.
And, and it's sort of like a lot of people screaming into the internet. And sometimes when you say on the one hand this and on the other hand that, it's a little boring. So you get drowned out by the, you know, the screamers. And
it has to be spectacular.
Yeah. So. And so, I'm not going to climb to the top of the Empire State Building and, you know, beat my chest and start screaming about stuff. It's just it's not my style. It's not the way that we do intelligent medicine, because we have a commitment to ethics and the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So end of sermon. And that's that so concludes part one of today's Q&A with Layla. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back with what question? Give us a preview.
Okay. Wondering if you've come across any products that help with erectile dysfunction. I can't take Cialis or Viagra. They don't work for me.
Oh, talk about a clickbait topic.
Yeah.
Let's handle that when we come back. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin, our nutritionist in residence, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.